True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 86. I'm Drab.
And I'm Valdez. Before we get started, I gotta pop my don't sleep energy.
Where's mine?
You didn't tell me to get you one. I would have. Do you want me to leave the studio right now?
Oh, one way over there.
You know what?
You know what? Do the plug, and
yeah,
I'm going to go get one.
Let me do the read while you go get yours, all right? All right. Today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. I love it. Drab loves it. Don't Sleep supports Bit Season. They support Matt and Matt. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use promo code BITTIES, that's BITTIES, for 10% off every order. That's every order, not just your first order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. I love the sugar-free. Drab just grabbed a sugar-free himself.
These things
keep us going throughout the day. We love them. And you know what? We appreciate it when you guys are tweeting pictures of your orders and tagging Don't Sleep Energy on Twitter or on Instagram and stuff like that. So thank you for supporting Don't Sleep, and thank you, Don't Sleep, for supporting us.
I think tomorrow night I'm going to meet up with Mike from Don't Sleep, and we are going to a high school baseball game.
I put that on the rundown.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
I'm intrigued, and I reached out to Mike about it.
Yeah, so Mike is involved with Madison Baseball, and Madison Baseball in Vienna are basically a wagon. They are the Tampa Rays of high school baseball.
I think they are, but they got a big following. They had a kid a couple of years ago who was drafted by the Cubs, I think in the second round. But they are a machine over there, and I keep seeing this stuff. I see Grant tweeting about it, and I keep seeing it on social media about, I'm all about a scene. You know that.
I know. I know. You're not going to go to some high school baseball game because for the love of the game.
What high school basketball game did I go to?
Yeah, you went to the PVI.
Yeah, I went to Paul the Sixth DeMatha game when Paul the Sixth was number one in the country.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what? Drab shows up when
there's no seats for any for the commoner.
Drab is like the Duke lover of high school sports.
I know, I am, but I do like high school sports a lot. And if anybody, I know I do. Like, yeah, I have a soft spot for that.
This is this just goes another check mark in your resume of baseball drab.
I am baseball drab, and this actually fits. I'm obsessed with baseball prospects and the draft and finding the next great star. And there's a kid at Madison who's going to be drafted in the first round.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I think someone, the Washington Post or someone, a reporter called him the next Otani. This kid's okay.
So, I mean,
I don't think they know that every high school stud throws and pitches and bats.
Uh-huh.
But apparently this kid does it very well. His name's Bryce Elridge, and a super talented kid. And I think why is because they don't know if he's going to be a pitcher or a hitter.
Oh.
But this guy is just built like a brick-ass house.
So you're going to go to this baseball game so that you can tell Blake and Tinsley that you saw this Otani kid back in high school.
No, it might be Blake and Tinsley can say that they saw him too. They might be coming.
Oh, nice.
Hey,
nice.
What's with you and mentioning Blake and Tinsley all week? What's going
what
on?
You
You're obsessed with my kids all of a sudden.
Hold on.
You, are you jonesing for kids of your own?
Yeah, I can't stop shooting it.
Yeah. You, I had a...
All right, hold on. What do you mean? All right,
this say is that a, again. You never mentioned Blake and Tinsley.
Okay.
And now you've mentioned them twice in 2 days.
Wait, hold on. You, all right, so today...
Today
then,
on
and,
Bit Season.
All right, and then what
and
was the
yesterday
other
you asked, you said on the air that Blake and Tinsley were going to buy me a vibrator, a male vibrator,
or a vibrating butt plug,
a butt plug, which was beyond inappropriate, and I no sold you on the air. I remained silent, and you had to.
Hey, were you bitter at me?
No, I wasn't bitter. I was surprised, and I didn't know what to say. And you
I did catch you off guard,
and you had to wallow in that, just like you did with your bomb zing with David Faraday. Yeah, hey, listen to the video. You guys should listen to the David Faraday interview and hear Valdez Zingo unanswered.
Hold on. He said he couldn't hear me.
First guest in radio history where somehow all the junkies could hear him. He's plugged into all the same things the junkies are, but he couldn't hear Valdez Zingo.
I say it's poor producing on your behalf because you misplugged his headphones in, so he couldn't hear me.
Highly doubtful. He seems like a professional broadcaster. I think he knows.
All right. Well, do you accept my apology?
No, I wasn't offended, so you don't have to apologize.
Right, thank you. I did think about that afterwards, and I said,
I know, because I just kind of stared at you, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if it was
I'm mad at you glare for using my kid's name in the same sentence as a butt plug.
No, I was just, I didn't want to go down that path of talking about toddlers and sex toys, so I just kind of let it hang out there.
Yeah, it was.
But
it
I wasn't
was
offended by it.
I wasn't trying to do a whole comedy pyramid on it. I just threw it out.
Well, I was afraid of that.
You were afraid of cakes jumping on the pile.
Yes, and then I just let it figure it would fizzle away if I didn't acknowledge it really.
Yeah, like Tinsley wearing your ring as
okay,
a bracelet.
All right, yeah, exactly. That's like what I did. So what I didn't want to. So Blake and Tinsley, they might go to the high school baseball game, or I might just go by myself. I could probably use the break.
I know. Why don't you just call it a work outing?
Because I'm already ditching my family on Saturday to go to Live Golf. She has to come to that. My wife asked if to come to that, and I said no.
Is she going to bring?
Not that I don't.
Is she
going
to bring your kids?
Well,
to it?
I'm like, you can't bring kids to a golf tournament.
They're going
to
be crying in the middle of Mito Pereira's backswing.
My wife literally knows nothing about golf, and I said no. That's not an appropriate venue for toddlers.
That Jack's Wacky Jackie's wife.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know so.
The Costa Rican.
Yes, the Costa Rican.
Mm-hmm.
The fiery Costa Rican.
Yeah.
So
Will she be there?
I got Jack a media credential.
I know. All the rules here.
No. We were told to do this. Right? We were told to do this.
Did Vinny and Joe get a media pass?
No, because they're not coming.
Did you roll your eyes at all when EB said, hey, I want to get Vinny a media pass?
No. Well, at first, but then I realized that's how Jane wanted to set everything up. Our liaison to
Jane's
Liv.
Getting a lot of plugs this week.
But that our Liv liaison, that's what she just told us to do. That's how she set it up. So Jack's talking to his wife about going out there, meeting me out there for Liv, and then walking inside the ropes, and then smelling Phil Mickelson's aftershave. And then he drops the three letters that gets every woman horny. VIP.
Yes.
So his wife doesn't give one iota about,
but she likes
about
the scene.
Golf, but she's like you. She mm-hmm. likes the scene.
Yeah.
You say the word chalet to her, and then all of a sudden she tingles inside. She's sized for access. And then she's having FOMO. She's having live FOMO because Jack's going to be inside the ropes, donkey kicking and everything and hanging out. And so
do you think Saturday's going to be some big party for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
For Valdez and Drab and Jack.
You don't understand.
I thought Saturday, we were journalists. I thought we were being treated like journalists.
No. We're basically second in line in Saudi Arabia.
I think that you got EB's hopes up, and I think you may have misplayed your
hand. You think I oversold?
Because you oversold the Club 54 thing, right?
Well, she just said that we can go visit it.
I know, but she wasn't like saying,
like, go hang out there.
Yeah,
all
like,
day.
Yeah. She said, if you guys want to go in there, I can escort you in there or something like that. It kind of made, I got the vibe of that's off limits, but if you really want to check it out, I'll you know,
I thought
can,
that's how I sold it. I thought,
no, you kind of sold it as you'll be hanging out with the Prince of Saudi Arabia and Donald Trump, and you guys will be doing vodka shots together. It's going to be a wild party. Oh, yeah. That's how you sold it on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You and EB, you and Paulina are going to be doing ice luge together. Yeah.
Hey, get ready for Paulina to do a body shot off your ugly belly button.
Right. All the players' wives. Did you say that?
Hey, yeah. Justine, Patrick Reed's mm-hmm. wife's going to be in there.
Yeah. I don't want to. You're supposed to undersell, over-deliver. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So you got his hopes up, and now he's going to think it's some wild party, which it might be.
Look, I just.
You sold me. I wasn't going to go.
Like I said, unfeathered.
Unfeathered.
I know, hey,
that was that was a slight botch by me.
It's fine. It's early in the morning. I get it.
I'll be honest. Your cakes was right. I didn't know that it was unfeathered.
I knew you didn't know. But I was actually, you know, it's so funny. We share a brain because I was thinking of that in my head, like as we're riding around the golf cart. Mm-hmm. I was going to say to you, like, when we're hanging out and you're deciding what Trump toilet you're going to go take a big dump in.
Yeah. I did not get to take the big dump. I told Valdez I couldn't wait to dump in one of Donald's toilets.
One of Don's golden toilets.
Do you
toilet.
Know where I took a dump? I had to take a dump yesterday. Dick Sporting Goods. And I thought about Donald Trump and Valdez as I'm in that gross, grimy bathroom that an employee blew up 2 minutes before I walked in there.
But all right, so as we're riding around, I was getting ready to literally use that same word to you, unfettered, and then I go, is it unfettered or unfeathered? And I had to say that in my head.
Hey,
go,
I'll take the lumps.
I'm pretty sure it's unfettered. And then you were the one who went out on the limb.
Yeah, I did.
So
I'll take the lumps for that one.
But I don't think, this is why I'm trying to get you hyped for it, mm-hmm. is because it'll be like a Junk's wheelhouse for you. Jane's giving you all access. All right. Mm-hmm. You're right in the stronghold of Junks and Bit Season P1s, where you're in Northern Virginia, Loudoun County, golf. I mean, you couldn't think of a bigger hotbed. I had somebody messaging me on the Vibe machine saying he's working the bar off the tee box on hole number 10. And he goes,
free drinks?
Oh, yeah. He says, come get hooked.
Oh, size. Hey, this might be the biggest AD party.
The biggest party.
That means I got to go get a new outfit. I can't just wear my black polo again.
What are you going to wear?
I don't know. I got to figure that out. I have to go back to Dick's.
And you got to wear comfortable shoes. You're going to be walking inside the ropes.
I will wear some Nikes or something. I see those donks at Augusta and
but people will be grilling your outfit. Because mm-hmm. you're going to be inside.
Can I wear pants?
You're going to be inside the ropes.
Can I wear pants?
No, but I might need to.
Oh, isn't that a thing that you're supposed to wear pants inside the ropes? Didn't we grilly be about that?
I don't know.
He was wearing shorts at Congo inside the ropes, and we grilled him for looking like a donk.
I don't know.
I think we have to wear pants.
Really?
I think that's the move. Yeah. because we're working
are
media.
You just trying to say that.
No,
so
no,
you,
that was just trying to say that. No,
so
no,
I, Bitty, so my poison ivy.
I know. Also, Violet Valtese looks like he's got a leg from The Walking Dead. It's I can't believe you're not wearing pants.
It was a misstep yesterday.
Valdez showed up because he's behind the board, so I'm not looking at it all show. I barely noticed it. He showed up to Donald Trump's golf course yesterday with, I'm not kidding you,
biological
like,
warfare.
It looked like, you know, in the news on Fox News, they're talking about that flesh-eating zombie virus on the streets of San Francisco, the drug addicts have.
Yeah, Trank. Trank's causing this flesh-eating virus.
Valdez looks like he's got a flesh-eating virus that his foot is going to fall off.
It does look like I have gangrene or something.
And I can tell it itches him, and it's scabbing over, so he is picking at it, and I want to throw up. Then he is dropping the dead skin onto the carpet.
That's a lie.
We'll have to see.
That's me topic. We'll get to that. Hey, have you ever seen Mission Impossible 2?
Of course. Now, I don't remember. I've seen them all. I don't remember all right. Which one's which.
When we are walking up to the clubhouse into Donald's golf course fortress that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I was explaining the plot of Mission Impossible 2 to Drab about the virus Crimea that is injected into the scientist to deliver across the entire world. And he's the one who's carrying the virus. So he is weaponized himself. Now I was just describing myself in that situation. So, that I'm hand delivering a virus to everyone.
Can I ask you something? If I walked over to you right now and I grabbed your leg.
Yeah.
Would I get poison ivy?
No, you wouldn't get poison ivy.
I don't know how it works. I thought they said it was contagious.
No, it hasn't transferred or anything. It's literally just the skin.
Okay, the day after.
Maybe.
So do all golfers get poison ivy all the time?
No, here's the thing. I never really get poison ivy. So, like, when I go look for my ball in the woods, I came across it, and then I got a bad case of it. You know what the worst part is? Is that my playing partner found the ball in the rough just like 15 yards up. So I got poison ivy for nothing.
Isn't that a bad look for a golf course to be filled with poison ivy? You're not supposed to take care of that stuff.
It would be helpful.
I'll tell you. I couldn't, if you showed me and said, here's two plants or two leaves. One is poison ivy. One is nothing.
Have you ever heard the phrase, leaves of three, let it be?
No.
It's a Simpsons reference, but that's how you...
Do all three leaves... What about a clover? A three-leaf clover?
No. So the three leaves are sprouting from...
A stem?
The stem. So Google poison ivy. Count the leaves.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm guessing there's three.
Yeah. Leaves of three, let it be.
Do you know how embarrassing it is when I type in P into my Google
and Pornhub?
It's the number one. Like, that's so embarrassing.
Hey, you know what we should do to go get rich? Is we should have a porn website that starts with the letter Q. Because no one's ever typing that in.
Right. Yeah, I see it here.
Yeah, now count the leaves.
What about poison oak? Isn't that something as well?
Yeah, poison. I was going to say. Now, I think I have poison oak, but that leaf is more, it kind of looks like a foot almost.
I mean, poison ivy looks like every plant leaf out there. I don't, to me it does. Is poison ivy very abundant and I'm just not aware?
Oh, yeah.
It's all over the place?
All over the place.
All right. Well, now it just looks like there's three normal green leaves.
Yeah. Just be careful next time.
All right.
You don't want to end up like me.
What is fragrant sumac? It's up here with poison ivy and poison oak.
Fragrant sumac?
That's what it says. S-U-M-A-C.
Sumac?
Sumac? Probably not sumac. It's probably bad pronunciation. Providence.
Unfeathered.
Unfeathered. This is a dumb show. We'll never claim to be smart on this show.
No, never.
All right, so we have the LIV event on Saturday. I don't know. I mean, do most of the listeners care about golf and LIV? It's been a huge golf week on the show.
It really
too
has.
Almost too much golf.
Nah.
I understand that LIV's in town.
You're talking to the number one golfer. I can't get enough of it. But I understand that it's monotonous and boring to a lot of people. But no, but you know what? This is what I like the Junks getting excited about something. You know what I mean?
Right. So why isn't Lurch doing the broadcast?
I don't know.
It makes no sense to me.
None.
Lurch lives in Loudoun County, lives a few miles from this place, loves golf, loves country clubs, all that kind of crap, has a radio show, and he turned down a chance to broadcast live from there. What is he do? What is he scared of? Or what is he so uninterested in?
I don't know. I personally think that the excuse of the grad parties is...
But he said that was Sunday, I thought. Or maybe EB has a grad party. Have you ever met anyone?
But there's no grad party that starts at 8, at 9 in the morning.
What grad parties is Jason going to? His kids have left high school years ago.
Their kids' friends, college graduation.
Nobody goes to those things. Doesn't he know that? That's the worst excuse ever. First off, nobody's buying it. He just says that so the people will leave him alone. I doubt he's going to a grad party. Maybe he is, but it's just there's no one that close to him that he has to go to the grad party.
To be honest with you, I think Jason doesn't necessarily go to these things. I think they're on the he gets invited to them, and he just uses them as excuse to just sit around.
Are they softball kids?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe they are. Did your basketball coach come to your grad party, Valdez?
Never. No. I went to my grad party.
So weird, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. He should be at
I also think that Jason is like a weird Liv hater.
Oh, he's so pro the PGA.
Yeah, that's what I think he is.
Well, he seemed to like David Faraday and be engaged in that interview. By the way, David Faraday, not who you think he is. Not in a bad way. Were you not surprised by how his calm demeanor?
He was very calm.
He
looked very tired.
Okay, maybe he was tired, but that's why I said, hey.
He looked very travel weary.
Did the surprise go well?
We had a whole internal debate about,
yeah, I know, we did.
About if we should do the surprise or not. Just because my only clash about it, and I'll give you credit. I was on the fence and I was leaning towards telling them beforehand because I just figure it was someone who they would want to know who's coming in so they could prep properly and stuff like that. But they're pros and they know enough about golf and David Faraday.
You know this. I love surprise radio. I'm always down for a surprise guest.
I know. You always want some sort of big reveal.
I love a big reveal, like just some tease where never know what can happen, right?
Uh-huh.
So if they're teasing David Faraday all show, we'll get maybe some more listeners and maybe people will stay tuned in longer.
No, I know what you mean because a lot of the times...
But the pop. I live for the pop.
A lot of the times, and I'm not saying this happens... It happens, but if we have a big guest or a guy that we know is going to make news on the show, it's kind of like not necessarily coasting, but it's like just get me to 9 o'clock because that's when Dave Faraday.
That's true.
That's when Faraday's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Just all we got to do is just get to 9, and then everything else will just steer itself into mm-hmm. harbor. So I can understand that.
I can see that, but I want them to get excited. That's what I want. I want them to EB and
you wanted to rise. You wanted to rise out of them.
I live for that was cool. Wow, that was cool.
I think you achieved it
because we want the guys to get excited for the show and not to be bored. And I think things like that can get them fired up for the show. Now look, David,
you want them excited. I'm into work,
but David Faraday is just a bombastic, almost, maybe that's not the right word. Just a very,
he's a character,
loud character on the air, very just outgoing, and just you think that guy, you could just sit back and let him dominate the conversations, one story after another.
Mm-hmm.
When I went downstairs to greet him yesterday, I was concerned.
Like his health?
No, not his health.
Or you're concerned, I was concerned about the segment.
I was concerned about the segment. I was trying to fire him up on the way. I shook his hand, very quiet. Hey, nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh, this is not who I, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's that way with comedians and others, and they can turn it on.
They turn it when the light comes on.
On the way up the stairs, I'm like, all right, I'm like, David, so the guys have been, they're childhood friends. They grew up in the same neighborhood. It's a very unique radio story. The guys are huge golf fans, obviously love you. They're super, and he's just going, yep, okay, okay, okay. And then he gets on the air, and I don't want to say this. He was nice. He was very nice. He wasn't rude at all. He was quiet. It's just,
you didn't expect that because you know Faraday on air.
Yes.
You know what it's like? It's like hearing Gilbert Gottfried's real voice.
That's true. Gilbert was kind of like, isn't Stern like that?
Yes. He's a recluse.
And Tom Likas, one of my radio icons, when I met him, was just like that. Very quiet off the air. Let everybody else in the
Eric
room
Bickle
talk.
Is like that.
Eric's like that in a way.
If he knows you,
Eric's disinterested. All right. Eric's like into his phone and he's doing other things. He's consumed by other thoughts. Kind of like he is on the show. He's distracted.
What you see is what you get.
Eric's not necessarily quiet. But David was a nice guy and he turned it on the show. Wasn't as outgoing as he was on TV.
Maybe he's not
TV.
A morning person. You would think so.
I'd be a morning person if I was staying at the Ritz-Carlton in every city that I was.
Should we dump that?
No. What, are you going to be able to sneak into the Ritz-Carlton and go to David Faraday's room?
No, but you could call and ask for him.
I doubt he's under his real name. They know he's staying at the Ritz-Carlton. Okay. And you're giving people bad ideas. Bother a pro.
I mean,
the junkies told me to call you.
Hey, do you know, speaking of the golf, this is golf season.
It is.
Do you know why I'm very pumped for our day out together on Saturday?
Why is that? Isn't,
not only is it because we could use some bro time together.
I appreciate the encouragement that you're giving me to come out to this event.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm pleasantly surprised and delighted that you want me to come so bad.
Why?
It's making me feel good.
Of course, I want you there because
because your boy Jack's already going. You don't really have a need for me.
I know.
And I'm not working the event.
I want you to go there because I think it's great to have just more than me. Because me, Eric, and JP are doing the broadcast, but we need someone else besides me and Eric to like walk around. You know what
I
mean?
Uh-huh.
And I need you. I need you there to be a storyteller too.
Okay.
Because you tell great stories.
All right. Thank you. Now you're really getting me pumped up.
So not only do I want your camaraderie, but I need you there. I need you there for the recap.
All right. Hey,
I wasn't done yet.
Please continue.
No. But this is why it's great. It's because we're going to get to hear the Valdez and Drab t-shirt screams in person.
That is what I'm...
Right?
Yes.
That's going to get you going.
Drab and Valdez!
Yeah, right. As DJ tees off. You think that's not going to be cool?
Did you get excited?
Behind the glass!
Yeah. Bit season.
Yes.
We need a bit season chant, or a chant, scream. Did you get psyched when you saw Dustin Johnson yesterday?
Of course I did. Ultimate swagger.
See, the swagger, the cocky walk is real.
It just dripped off of him.
So we saw him. He walked on the range. Valdez saw him earlier getting off the golf cart, and then we saw him drive by us. Like, I mean, literally, it was just us two on the path.
Yes.
We were in the car, and then the cart stops for a second. We said hi to him, and then he continued on. But
hey, what did you think of my fanboy voice?
It was embarrassing a little bit.
You never really hear my fanboy voice.
Well, I don't really... Okay, we're out on the range. I'm seeing, and I recognize most of the names. I wouldn't maybe recognize the
you
players.
Said,
like
you
Brendan Gray.
You said, who's that?
Right.
When you were talking about Brendan Steele.
And so Brendan Steele I didn't recognize. But I know the name because I know the name of all the live golfers. But like when I see Pat Perez, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's Pat Perez. Joaquin, I know him. But then
Harold Varner's not hard to spot.
Harold Varner is easy to spot. And then Oosthuizen in the garage bay that we were in. Literally, it was me, Valdez, Louie, and some cameraman. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we didn't say hi to him.
I don't know.
We clammed up. We were in the world's darkest room.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It was so weird. But I could tell that it was him. And then also the guy goes, hey, Louie.
and I look over. He's a shrimp.
He's just a tiny little guy. But we were standing a foot away from him. And that was cool.
Say, hey, Louie, do you know where the Ethernet outlet is?
I know. Felt stupid.
It was so dumb.
But that was cool. So I'm looking forward to Saturday. I know that...
I'm looking forward to you taking a load off.
I'm taking a load off, and I got to give you props. You had great instincts on where to set up the broadcast from.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I do have to say this. The junkies didn't take me seriously today when I brought up the fact that we could be working for Liv in 6 months. And it might
be less than that.
I'm telling you, we were kings out there.
We were. You should have seen them. We looked like logistical savants.
And they always say, the golf course is where deals get done.
Hey, do you know what my dream is?
Huh?
You don't know this. And I think I may have mentioned it once, but this honestly is my dream.
What's that?
All right. Don and Greg Norman are riding to the course together. All right.
And like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're getting ready for Liv, and they're flipping around the station, and all of a sudden they land on 106.7 The Fan.
Greg hears there's a live broadcast out there.
Here's a live broadcast. Hey, should I wear the shark hat out there during the broadcast?
Yeah. Definitely.
Is that just so much schmoozing?
I mean, it's you just begging for attention.
All right, well, I'll think about it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're riding in and they're armored Bentley.
Well, I'm guessing the former president he's got a helicopter in.
Okay. Well, maybe they have a radio in the helicopter. All right. And they hear that broadcast. And they go, oh, my God, that one guy, his voice is so high-pitched and squeaky. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he's been doing too many Foxy Gator appearances.
All right, and they go, he's out. Who is that bum?
Yeah, who is that? Oh, this guy's rambling about Liv, but doesn't know any of the players who are on the Fireballs. He doesn't know what a triple bogey is.
I think there's another host there, but he's not talking during a golf segment.
Yeah. There's one guy who just won't stop setting the scene. But
who's that third mic? Oh wow, that guy with the smooth voice, and
he knew who won in Tulsa. He knows where every single event's been for Liv. He knows everything about this course. It sounds like he's played this course 30 to 40 times before. He knows the entire layout. He knows we rerouted number one.
Can I tell you who
18.
You are?
Who?
You're the Pete Medhurst of Liv Golf.
Okay.
You're going to be the information guy.
Yes.
The huge sports guy.
The boring.
No, not
Mike.
Boring.
Yes.
That's not fair.
That's what you're trying to say.
No, you're the straight sports guy.
I'm the nuts and bolts.
Yes, because JP is not going to know anything about what's going on. And you will be the information guy.
I'm the information guy.
You'll be.
But I want the intel. I want the intel guy. To be noticed.
Greg Norman doesn't need a funny guy. He doesn't need a comedy guy.
No, he doesn't.
He's looking for someone that is obsessed with Liv.
Right. That's going to be me. That's the role I'm going to play.
I know. You might wow him. Now, look, he's not going to be listening. There's a possibility that Greg Norman walks by.
All right.
I mean, you're going to be on the
range.
That's
true.
During the hours leading up to tee off, from 9 to noon,
yes.
Those guys will be out there.
Oh,
there is
yeah.
a good chance that Greg Norman walks by.
Yeah.
And here's you. And there's also a chance Donald Trump walks by, which would just be insane. But I don't think Valdez and I care one iota about President Trump and his politics. We're star effers.
Yeah.
We just want to be in the scene. We just want to be.
You got a presence. We want you.
There is something different. There's something cool about, because we're not around golf guys, you know, around John Wall can walk in here and it's not a big deal.
I'm not really phased.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun, but, or.
I've met Cal Ripken. You know, five times through this show.
Big time.
But it's true.
Right.
I've met him five times through the show, and I've just, it's.
But
old
you know
hat.
What?
It's
there's
old
something.
Hat to me.
There's something cool about golfers because they're such individuals in their sport, and they're so, like, their names hold a lot of clout. So when you see someone that you've seen on TV for a billion times,
dude,
it's pretty
Greg,
cool.
If Greg Norman comes up and shakes my hand with his big chainsaw scar, I might. Pants.
Well, I'm going to be out there. Now I got to come early because I can't let you get all the.
Yeah, what time are you going to come?
Probably 10. I'm thinking 10 o'clock or so.
That's good.
10 or 11.
Well, no, I would come before the gates open.
All right, the gates open at 10, but I don't think it's going to be a mad rush.
No, I don't think so either. But when you're in there before the gates open, that means you're a big silly. And so when you're at, then all the other big sillies see the big silly.
I'm going to be a big silly with my gigantic media credential and live, you know, with his lanyard.
You're going to go get your merch.
Yes. Oh, and we got merch gift certificates. No, it'd be a fun time. So if you tweet us if you're coming out there on Saturday, maybe we'll do a whole meetup or something.
Yeah, a bitty meetup.
Because you just what's the best hole? What's a good hole? It's a shotgun. Sorry.
19th.
No. Well, let's tell the biddies where we're going to be at one. We should meet with some biddies.
All right.
Well, was
it the ninth green at 9?
No, I think we're going to be on the first hole at 1:00.
That's the plan. Is because they want us to do that start.
They want us to be there for the shotgun start.
Yeah, for the shotgun start. So why don't we make our way backwards?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go from 1. We'll go to 18, and then we can meet some biddies on the back 9.
Okay. So after the start, we'll go to 18, and we'll be milling around there for a little bit. You'll see us.
Yeah.
Valdez will be somewhere in something ugly.
I'm gonna wear my just look for the infected leg.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna wear my Norman head. Oh, hey, are you gonna listen to the broadcast?
Well, I'm gonna stand right next to you guys.
No. Like as soon as we go live.
Yeah, of course. I'll be on. Right,
let's have a bet.
Mm-hmm.
What's the over under on time that EB asks for a cocktail?
Oh, are you going to let him drink?
I don't know.
You're producing and hosting, so that's up to you.
I don't know. I think if it's 9 to noon, I figure he can have his first one at 11.
All right, you tell him that. And I'm just glad you don't have to deal with Vinny and Joe.
Oh, I know.
Because that would be a pain in the ass. Because Eric would be so distracted if those guys were there.
I know. He's laser focused on the event now that Vinny and Joe aren't.
Speaking of Vinny and Joe...
Yeah.
What do you make of the Tales of the Foxy Gator? We got a lot of tweets about that.
Yeah, I know. It's so Eric had it labeled. I don't
Did we mention it last week a little bit?
Yes, but Eric had it labeled. Was it Joe gets 911 called on him?
Yeah.
So when you read that, you get the impression that, oh my God, Joe like fell down stairs or, you know, got hurt, got in an accident. But why did Joe have 911 called on him?
Joe got 911 called on him because they called the hotel manager called the police on the psychopath because he went insane in the lobby because they didn't save a room for him, or the room that they had for him had an issue, had a leak, and so they told him they no longer had a hotel room for him. And Joe was hammered, his wife was hammered, and Joe went mafia insane in the lobby, and I think was threatening to injure the guy or destroy. I think the phrase was destroy this place. And so, of course, they called the police on him, and then Joe had to sleep in his car.
All right, this is what I don't understand.
Which actually is an interesting story for radio.
Yes.
But what I don't understand is the EB's fake laughter in the whole thing.
Like that one.
There's
right
something
there.
That I can't. I haven't quite figured it out. Now, they're putting the second one out tomorrow, so maybe it will be better. I just want EB to be himself.
I think that's a very fair request.
And those guys, they don't have the chops right now. They don't know how to talk into a microphone. They don't know how to continue a conversation when they're on the air.
This is what's not necessarily weird about it or strange about it. I'm not doubting that Vinny and Joe are funny people. We've had them on the show. They've called in. They've been in studio. They're entertaining.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, but you don't need to go over the top to sell them. Mm-hmm. The people will decide.
Yes,
themselves.
He's going. You're right. He is going over. He's going over the top.
Yeah, just laugh naturally at it, and the people will decide.
But he's also having to set them up. EB's not.
EB's not an assist man.
Yes,
that's also another part.
It's a bad combination.
EB is a Jordan.
Yes.
And he's playing the role of Stockton.
Yeah, that's a losing team.
Now look, they might be able to figure it out. Yeah, John Stockton can't carry your team to the finals.
Right. It's just not EB needs someone to set him up for stories or for the zing or something like that. No, EB, you know, mm-hmm. let him go crazy.
And honestly, I think people know EB's a tough laugh.
He doesn't give us fake laughs.
That would be nice if we got fake laughs.
Cakes gives us fake laughs, but
Cakes is an easy laugh.
But he's so good at it, it's tough to tell.
You say duty in front of Cakes to laugh because he's 5 years old. But
and the other guys, you got to really work.
But Eric, that's the problem, is that I'm not saying that Vinny and Joe aren't funny. I'm just saying that Eric's a tough laugh to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to say something and try to be funny, it's probably not going to work. But if you're naturally funny and you say it and you start be laughing, that's when you know you're hitting gold.
Right. So I'm going to give him a pass. Let's give him some time. EB said this week is better. He said the audio is better.
Yeah. Well, also remember our first episode.
The bit season?
Yeah.
I thought it was way better than that.
Oh, me too.
Well, I thought, hey, what was wrong in the first episode of this season? I don't remember. No, because we sold the whole thing on we are in a room 25 hours a week together. We got great chemistry. We already know we're finishing each other's thoughts.
Hey, you know what? If Eric wants this, if Eric and Vinny and Joe want this podcast to take off and go to the moon,
mm-hmm.
they should just go on a retreat together.
They should, yeah.
Just get locked in a room.
Should I?
You know what?
They need the stallion.
Yeah, they do.
They need the stallion in there.
Oh, they would
love
that.
Make them feel better.
Yeah, because you know what? They're all machismo,
yes.
High octane males, and so they can't make fun of each other. So
right.
they need their own little punching bag.
And I tell you, I know people, they would get frustrated by it, but I'm telling you, Ryan Clary is...
He would have googly eyes if he was listening to that.
He is, for a podcast, Ryan Clary is premium gasoline. He just fuels you, keeps you going with all the laugh, because we don't even notice it. We just know that somebody sitting next to us is having a good time or pretending to be having a good time, and it makes us feel good.
That's great, because Eric doesn't have to do his fake laugh.
Yes.
Ryan's already just laughing through the entire thing.
Yes, right, exactly.
And then it won't be as cringe or as awkward. Hey, speaking of,
you say that a lot.
I do.
I think I say it a lot too.
Oh, I was just trying to transition. It made me, the other day about us being locked in a room together.
Yeah.
It made me think of, our site tour yesterday and how flattered I was by one thing that you said.
All right. So site tour at Trump yesterday.
We're on the cart with Jane.
Uh huh.
All right. And we're getting ready to head down and do the tour of the range where we wanted to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And then I heard this because I was sitting on the back and Drab was right there hobnobbing and talking Jane's ear off.
I was selling the duo.
I know you
were. I was trying to get hired.
Yeah. Yeah. Drab said to her, he said, yeah, me and go, we don't necessarily hang out after the show as much as we should or we could, but we're in the same room for 6 hours a day. It's almost like we know what we're each other's thinking. And that made me cry a little.
Hey, you know what job I envisioned for us at Liv?
All right, yeah, that would be nice.
Think about yesterday when we went inside that media tent.
Okay.
And there were two people doing the check-in.
All right. Yeah. The director of the media ops was doing it.
Okay. Drab and Valdez, co-directors of media operations. We could sit in that tennis center and check people in and get all the media people squared away for the week and then run around and we don't need, Jane's got her position, right?
Yeah, she does. She deals with the players.
They literally had it look like a young kid doing it.
It did.
I'm like, I could do that. We could check people in and then we'll take it to the next level. Run the media center.
Well, here's
would you not like that job?
I would love that job. Here's also what I would, we need some sort of creative position there, because I feel like we flexed our creative
you
muscle.
You were flexing.
We were flexing our creative muscle.
Now, listen, not that we don't like the junkies and we're looking to leave. We just know that
we just know Odyssey can't match salary money.
Liv is just burning. They just love to burn money.
I mean, they're just... It's like the GIF of the people shoveling the money in the fire. That's what they're doing.
It's a gold rush. We're trying to move to California.
Yeah,
it's exactly what it is.
So we need to be on the idea side.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I like that.
All right. So we're not necessarily that we got to go follow through with the ideas, mm-hmm. but we're the ones pumping out the ideas. Like when Jane said to me. Yeah, the one of the radio shows just did their show from the media center.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I wanted.
Okay.
That's not what I envisioned.
These expertise is radio show location soundside.
Okay,
let me see.
No, but what would you call that? You would call that media. Media
no,
ops consultants.
No, you're going to be technical director for LIV Media.
Technical director. Creative director. That's like Don Draper's.
Okay.
All right. Creative director
of media operations.
Media operations.
All right, yeah.
All right. What's our starting salaries?
It's got to be 160,000.
All right, 160,000.
But here's the thing: we also have to move to Jupiter, so we need a cost of living increase. Yeah. So now we're up to 200,000.
We need that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we definitely need to be like on the good side of Jupiter.
Yes,
because we're by the golfers.
We can
do all these things that we want to do.
Right, of course. Well, we got to live. We got to be close to the shark. We'll be within, you know, if he needs us, we got
to
be there.
We got to pitch ideas to him. We got to be close.
I was a little disappointed. I asked one of the girls yesterday where she lived. She said California. So I just assumed everybody was living in Jupiter. It was like one big live party. Wasn't the case.
It's like a cult.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of hoping for.
I never wanted to drink more live juice in my life.
Oh, we all live on the same street in Jupiter.
They're all dressed the same.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping to hear. All right, so we're looking forward to come out on Saturday. You'll find us. We'll be milling around.
Is that too much golf talk?
I think people like that we're excited. All right, let's take a quick break. Is there anything else to discuss today?
I think so. I saw this Twitter beef that was going on.
All right, maybe we'll discuss it. I don't know. I got to think about it during the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bit Season.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 86. We tease going to break. Some tension. That happened on today's show. Can you explain the tension and what transpired during our fact or fiction
just
edition?
Trying to have a fun radio show where everyone, you know, gives each other a little ribbon here and there. Having a good time, carry a conversation a little bit so it doesn't die out, and just try to have some fun with the boys. And as what seems to happen when myself and John Paul Flame are involved, he gets better.
Let me ask you a question.
I really don't know what to say. Go back and listen to the segment. I don't really know what to say because I'm pretty frustrated right now, and I'm frustrated that he just can't roll with the punches of doing a fun radio show.
Do you think that he thinks everything is a personal date?
Yes.
For him?
Yes.
Does he not understand that we're not, that number one, everyone's getting digged at, including ourselves.
I accused you of stealing movies. Yes. The same thing.
I know.
I steal movies. I say 1,000 times on the show. Pass the hat around. I just don't understand why everyone can get their balls busted but JP. When JP likes to do it himself, he likes to take digs at people. Why can he take digs at people, but he can never be digged on himself?
What's with this accusation that you're just always lying?
I don't know. I mean, he lies. I feel like he lies. This, my opinion is that JP exaggerates on the show. He is unfair to people on the show.
I will say that JP, the thing that tilts me is that JP speaks for somebody.
Right.
Like he just assumes your thought is this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll just say, you know, Draft thinks the Seahawks, blah, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
That's kind of my beef, I guess you could say. But I didn't necessarily think you did anything wrong.
Hold on. Today, I know I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, I know
today.
You didn't.
Today, I didn't lie. I asked him to tell me what I lied about. He couldn't tell me that he.
Do you think it stems from this show? And by the way, doesn't he understand that we don't know anything? We're spitballing. We're stupid. We're theorizing.
We're trying to have a fun time.
A fun conversation.
Part of the fun of the show.
Let me tell you something.
And I can't believe the listener went up to JP. And the listener who went up to JP and told him that we were trashing him last week and saying that he only plays golf because it's free, you set this whole thing into motion. because you don't know JP, and you can't do that to him.
People don't understand that you guys are going to ruin this show.
Well, no, they're not, because I'm not going to talk about JP anymore after this.
Yeah.
That is what I want to say. I don't want to talk about JP anymore. He can't handle it. He can't handle being talked about on this show. I love JP as like a family member. He's driving me nuts right now. I'll say that. And I don't want to talk about him anymore because he can't handle the stories. He can't handle theorizing and having fun.
Speculation.
He'll just call me a liar.
Here's the thing. If you're a biddy and you listen to what we say and you're taking what we say on this dumb show that we're doing to try and entertain you as gospel, then that's the first step to wrongville.
Do you guys know that EB comes in on Fridays or Mondays, whenever you listen to it, and laughs and says, you guys are idiots. You don't know. You're wrong again.
Yeah.
You're wrong again.
How many times he said, you're wrong again.
Yes.
You know how stupid you are.
It's all good, though. I get it. You guys are doing a fun show. Yeah, and you're just dumb theory. And he literally does not care.
This is JP's problem, is that JP needs to take a social media break.
He needs a John Morant.
Yeah, he needs a John Morant.
Okay.
Because he's taking what people are saying to him as gospel. And we rib everybody, and these people are going up to JP and they're saying, you know, they're saying X, Y, and Z. And I know for a fact JP's not listening to this show. Mm-hmm. So he's not hearing firsthand what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he might listen to this one.
So he's taking verbatim what people are saying. And it's just like when he reads a tweet from Ball Sack Sports, he takes it as gospel.
But I don't even think it's that, Valdez, because he heard what I said to him today on the show. He heard it from my mouth, took it so personally that I said, can you guys stop stealing movies? Which wasn't a lie. JP illegally watched a movie, or illegally, well, I don't even know what the legality behind it is, I guess. He didn't pay for air and he watched it on his phone. And then he accused me of lying.
Well, he also said he justified it because you couldn't get him a screening hour.
All right, he'll take that up with the police. That's not my problem. You say my producer said I could have free movie passes, but he didn't deliver, so I stole it. That didn't make it okay. That's not why. I didn't tell you to steal it.
I don't know. I don't care. Here's also the thing.
I just think it's funny, in my opinion, that a radio host who makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year stole a movie and didn't pay for it. That's what I thought was funny. It's slightly humorous that I didn't think was offensive.
I'd say it's a little more than slightly, but yeah,
okay,
I would agree. No, here,
and it fits in the Joni mold of the show where everyone's cheap.
No. Here's the problem. The problem is that JP reads every comment sent to him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you multiply that by Twitter, two Twitter accounts, because he's all over the show one along with his.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Instagram, all of these comments. He reads every single one of them.
Right.
And so when you read these thousands of comments and they're saying, hey, the guys are talking about you being cheap with golf. All right. Then all of a sudden it starts stewing down deep down, or they go, hey, they're saying that you hate Adam. When, by the way, we didn't say you hate Adam. We said you made a doodle of him. And I said that, not Graf.
No, I do want to say something, though. It is my opinion that JP does not like Adam. And Adam feels JP does not like him. Adam has told me that hundreds of times over the last decade. So you want to talk about facts, opinions, lying, whatever. It is Matt Cahill's opinion, John Paul Flame, that you don't like Adam Epstein. I feel that. I've felt that way for years. You're dismissive of him.
You tried to get him to leave.
You came up with AWOD fatigue. In my opinion, you've done him no certain, like, you just had to put up with him. You don't like Adam, in my opinion. You don't like Adam, and you just had to put up with him because the other guys on the show liked having him on. And in my opinion, you retweeting him, acting like that's showing that you like Adam, means nothing to me. And means nothing to Adam. You're in radio plug mode. That's it. I don't think you would, if Adam's parents died, you wouldn't call him. That's my opinion. If Adam had some, you know, needed something, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't care. You might do it for other people, but my opinion is you don't like Adam. So you can call me a liar. This is how I feel about it.
I think things are getting like, just because we have an opinion, I think maybe because we work with them mm-hmm. and we have an opinion about it, mm-hmm. they just think it's not that it's true all the time. Listeners, I'm saying. Would you?
Yeah, but I think the majority of them understand that we're just trying to be silly and just trying to be goofy. Now, going up to JP at an event and saying the guys are trashing you, like, you're really hurting us. I'm just letting you know, when you do that, you're really hurting us because you're talking to an alien who doesn't understand like any context to what he's not processing it. He's so defensive about everything. Listen to the show. He's defensive. When we talk about Kirk Cousins, you know, JP's like interjecting some Kirk Cousins stats in the middle of a conversation. Like, it wasn't about Kirk Cousins. And then nobody acknowledged what he said. And then he stops the conversation again by correcting the Kirk Cousins stats just to prove that he's right about something. He has to be right at all times. Okay, it's impossible to win with him. The only way you win with JP is ignoring him, and that is what I'm going to do from here on out.
So this is
on this show.
So this is just the difference. If we were at the Live event, and you know, we had some listener that came up and said, "Hey, EB and Vinny and Joe were trashing your podcast on the Tales from the Foxy Gator." Mm-hmm. I would laugh it off. And just say, hey, you know, thanks, man. I know they can be funny sometimes, but it's all good.
Well, they did trash the podcast. It was fun. It was a fun segment when they came on.
Yeah, I know. We don't take it seriously. But I'm just saying, like, if they did it on the Foxy Gator thing, I would go back. I would listen to it and I'd say, oh, that's funny, whatever. I probably wouldn't think about it.
Size for radio wars. I would love to have a radio war with the Foxy Gator. I would be butt sized.
But I just. I'm kind of with you where I'm just the energy of explaining it mm-hmm. just seems so overwhelming right now. And at this point, this will be the last hurrah in the last segment that JP's mentioned.
At least for a long time until I make this mistake again. Because I will, I'll take a break, and for like a month, I won't talk about JP, and then I'll slip up, and I'll bring up something he did on the show again.
I know.
And then we'll get back to him, and it'll be a problem with
him.
What do they call Vietnam? The unwinnable war? That's like living with JP, doing a show with JP. You can't win because he'll never let anything go. He'll never let it roll off his back like everybody else does. But he's Mr. We're just busting balls. Eric Bieniemy, you look like an idiot with your collar, but we're just ball busters over here on this show. We all just give each other a hard time. Oh, wait, don't say anything about me. I'll get super defensive about it.
It's a very, very valid point.
I'm gonna mock what Chris Rock wears on stage during his performance for 20 minutes on The Junkies, but don't say anything about what I wear or I'll get super pissed off. That's how I feel right now. He can take shots at other people, but no one, God forbid, you joan on him. The Joners can't be joned on. Or one of the Joners. Can you tell I'm irritated now that I'm talking about it? I didn't want to talk about it because this is what...
Like, does JP understand that we said Cakes' neighbor f***ed his wife?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Like, the hyperbole of it.
See, JP, and he's going around saying, I'm obsessed with him. Does JP actually think that I care what him and his wife watch on television?
No.
I'm trying to come up with interesting content
that's relatable to listeners.
So, to relatable listeners who, you know, most listeners watch TV with their wives. Every guy who's married has to suck it up and watch TV shows with his wife or girlfriend.
They gotta go watch.
I mean, how many times have I talked about watching Bravo and Drab getting Bravo points? Okay. Yes. But then he gets uptight about it and defensive and says, I said he's watching the wrong shows. Who gives Valdez? Who cares? We're just being silly. We're continuing the conversation because we got six more minutes to go in the segment, and the guys are running out of energy. That's what's going on. So we're trying to, not necessarily, that's not a shot at them, but like we're just trying to keep it going. Yes. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want dead air.
We don't want dead air. There's dead air. I'm filling the dead air.
Yeah. We shouldn't have dead air. We have six people on the show. There shouldn't be dead air.
Well, the problem is multiple people, including JP, are engaged in other things besides the show. They're reading, JP today was reading a Stephen A. Smith article in the middle of the show that had nothing to do with Stephen A. Smith or the NBA. It wasn't even NBA talk. I think it was probably during
JP, that air segment, or the segment after that. JP was trying to confirm golf with me next week when we had our pickleball announcement.
Right. So there was a segment where I said, I don't think, oh, it was the Ron Rivera segment. Yeah. We played Ron Rivera audio, the 7 a.m. segment today. Yes. During that segment, I noticed that, in my opinion, JP wasn't talking enough. So I said something to Valdez. I said, I don't think JP's talked in 10 minutes. And then I looked over and he's reading a Stephen A. Smith article in the middle of a show about our most important topic, in the middle of a segment about our most important topic. So, yeah, sometimes the guys aren't completely engaged. And Valdez and I, you know, granted by the junkies, like they've given us permission to. Yeah. Kind of chime in whenever we want. I would be perfectly fine sitting back there chiming in.
That would be fine by
me. I'll do what the other producers have to do or on other shows. That's fine. Like if that's what you guys want, that's fine. I won't chime in. But if you want me to chime in, I'm going to be myself and I'm going to try to have fun. If you don't want that, then I will sit out. That's fine. I'm not taking my ball and go home. It's your show. So do what you want.
Yeah,
but don't call me a liar and say you exaggerate everything. That's what Jonian is. Jonian is exaggerating.
Yes. If Drab had a water stain on the front of his pants, I'd say Drab pissed his pants when he went to the bathroom.
You're a liar. I've never pissed my pants. Is Valdez lying again?
If Drab nicked his face shaving his soul patch that he has right now, and he was bleeding, I would say he's bleeding profusely from his face, and it looks like the Joker, right?
I don't know. So you guys can notice that if you listen, like, this is the end of it. I know we had some a few weeks ago.
But I'm going to
make an effort, and you guys can remind me. Just like I lied on the show when I said I'm done with hoodies and I'm wearing a hoodie today. Okay,
nothing's that serious. That could be that's your rattiest hoodie ever. Too.
I know, but it's so comfortable. I'm wearing the radio.com one. I'm going to make an effort on the show about the junkies not to talk about JP because I just would rather.
You know,
not.
We'll just here's the things. We'll just do our own topics.
Or do our own topics, which we like doing anyways, and the other guys can take it, in my opinion, and I don't believe JP can take it.
I don't feel like doing this cycle anymore.
Right.
It's tiring.
And this is how these shows end. Because then there's conflict, and then we're fighting every week with the guys about things we said on this show.
I don't want to fight with the guys, and I don't want to have to defend what we do, and I don't want people to be mad, but if that's what's going to happen, the best course of action is, like you said, to just ignore it.
Believe me, I don't think this is some important, great podcast that we need to continue doing.
Yes.
That it's just we're doing it because we like doing it and you guys like hearing it. I have no idea if it's good or not, but I'd rather not have conflict from doing this podcast.
All right.
I got enough conflict in my life, as does Valdez.
I don't need to be worried about mending relationships after dumb podcast.
Right.
Also, this might be the first episode that JP hears. Because when JP talks about our stupid theories on the show, I know he's not hearing them firsthand because what he's saying is. It's basically like a game of telephone.
He's getting the details wrong.
He's not.
He said
like
on the air.
He would know that I know it was brief, but I clarified that JP did not do the doodle on an episode.
Yes, and he tweeted that Drab is a BSer and that all he spews is BS. He said that I did a doodle. Which if you listened to the show for 5 seconds and you were going to reference that, you would know that it was Valdez who did the doodle.
And then
theory.
They come to his defense, and I said that it was not him and that it was Cakes.
Right.
And then I did say that Cakes must not.
Are you saying that JP lied when he said he listens? He said, "Hey, I listen." And they got all the details. They got the details wrong.
Have you ever heard of Harry Houdini?
I have. I love Houdini.
Okay. Do you know that he had a pact with his wife?
No, I don't know about this pact.
You don't know about this pact?
No.
So Harry Houdini. I think it was Harry Houdini. We're just going to go with Harry.
I thought he was a Houdini. You don't need to say Harry.
All right, but Houdini.
He's a one name guy.
I know, but. Now I'm starting to doubt it was Houdini.
Okay.
But we'll just say it's Houdini.
Okay, famous celebrity from a long time ago had a pact with his wife. May have been Houdini.
Yeah, may have been Houdini, who did not believe in contacting the afterworld, the shamans and the psychics and everything about speaking to your dead lover.
A medium.
A medium, yes.
Okay.
A psychic medium. And so Harry and his wife.
Harry, yes.
Yeah. They had a secret phrase.
Oh, okay.
All right. And they had a secret phrase, and they said, if the medium contacts you, give her the secret phrase, and she'll, or he or she will relay that phrase to me. And that's how I know I'm talking to you.
Okay.
All right. So JP.
That's from the movie Ghost. When she says ditto, when he's walking out of the diner, he dog.
No, it's a Houdini ditto. Story.
Okay. No, you're telling the story from Ghost. Right, when they said ditto to each other.
All right. Listen.
Say ditto. Ditto. Okay.
All right. It's a Houdini story.
All right. Maybe that's where they got it from.
I swear that's where they got it.
All right.
What's going to be our phrase? If JP, if you listen to this show, I want you to come up to me and say the phrase.
In reference to what? What are they?
JP, if you hear this, if you're listening to this show right now.
I know, but he's going to listen to this one.
He might not. And it's also, we're 60 minutes into the show. I don't know if he has the attention span for that.
All right, so you want him to come up and say,
I want him, as soon as he walks into the door. And all right, and you know what? Don't be an asshole and tweet him the phrase.
No, somebody will do that. All right, the phrase is Red Baron.
Are you hungry for pizza?
Yeah. Right. I don't know. You asked me, you got a better phrase?
No, I don't. All right. I want you to come up to us, poke your head into the producer's room tomorrow. All right? And just poke it in there. And you can sneer at us and give us a...
No. Talk to Valdez. I have nothing to do with this.
And say, Red Baron.
Okay. Right?
And that's how I know you listen. And that's how I know you're not lying about what you're saying about how you listen.
Right.
All right. Now I got to Google Houdini.
It was impressive to me that he was calling me a liar and then accusing me of things that I didn't do. That's what it was. I had nothing to do with the doodle. That was all Valdez. All right, and I don't want to be frustrated or angry anymore. It's 1 o'clock, and we got a great weekend in front of us with Live Golf and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. All right, what are you looking at?
Podcast, but louder. That's gonna be okay. I'm reading Houdini.
I know. You says who cares? You had a good story. You had a good nugget there. It didn't matter who it was.
Houdini, how I unmasked the spirit fakers.
All right. So Valdez, coming with content. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Have a better day than I'm having. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Junkies. And we'll see how
if they don't fire us.
All right. Okay, guys. Later.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.